Hi, welcome everyone. I think we're going to get started, otherwise we're going to be short of time. Just remember that if you come up to share or speak, that you need to sign the waiver form that is up here on the table. So I would appreciate it if you would do that. Hi, my name's Elaine, and I am a compulsive eater. I have probably been a compulsive eater all my life. So I just didn't know what was wrong with me. And until I found out and came into the See How rooms, my weight went up and down and up and down like a yo-yo. Every year, my New Year's resolution was to lose weight. Every year, I probably did. Every year, it was a different diet or a different plan. And finally, when I found myself pleading with my Heavenly Father that I needed help, there was something wrong with me and I didn't know what it was, I shortly thereafter found out what it was and that I had a disease, and it was compulsive eating. So I was already what you would call elderly. I was in my 60s. And so I came into this program and I had been working for quite a while to lose weight. I had decided I needed portion control because I realized that my portions were out of control. And so everything that I picked up, I looked to see on it what a portion was. And I had been doing that for a while, a couple of years, and I had lost some weight. And then suddenly I couldn't lose anymore because obviously my portions included contraband. And so I reached a plateau and I couldn't lose it. I was like, here I am working so hard on this diet. What's wrong with me? And then one day I found myself inhaling something I hadn't planned on. And it wasn't one, it was many. And when I started on it, my brain said, one is a serving. But what do you do after you've eaten the whole plate? And it could have been a dozen. And they were in me. And I pleaded for help, and that's when I got the help, and I discovered I was a compulsive eater, and I went to several different programs as in my adventure, and finally wound up what a friend told us, well, there's some meetings that are strictly for eating in American Fork. Why don't you go? And I lived in American Fork. It's like, well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to go. So I did. I went. And thank goodness, I walked into those doors and discovered people that were just like me. And I discovered that and came to realize that this was the only way for me. I occasionally, fleeting thoughts go through my mind. You can do this on your own. And then almost instantly, something happens. Something's put in front of me or I see something. And I think, oh my goodness, if I was doing this on my own, I'd eat it all. I can't do this on my own. I recognize that. I've told all my kids as I get older, if you put me in a home, they have to feed me the See How way. So I got down to where my doctor felt was a maintenance weight, and it came pretty quick, actually. And when I got there, I thought, okay, you know, I went to the maintenance plan and oh, guess what? I started gaining weight. And so I said, I need to go back to the 30-day plan, which I did. And the weight did not come off. It didn't. And I panicked. I went to my doctor and I said, can I say his name? I don't know if I can or not. Anyway, I went to my doctor and told him, look, I'm following my program. He knew what my program was. We had discussed it. And he said, Elaine, eat less food. And I went, what? I can't. I called my sponsor and I said, my doctor just told me to eat less food. And at that particular time, my sponsor said, oh, no, you have to eat so much vegetables and so much meat and so much. And I said, but my doctors told me to eat less. Well, she wasn't happy with that, so I had to change to a different sponsor. And I found a different sponsor that would accept the fact that I could eat less food, and I do. But all of it is abstinent. I just want you to know that. And so after I did that, guess what? My weight went back down a couple of 3 pounds, and I got back down to where I was happy. And I have stayed there now for, I'd say, 5 years. And I haven't seen this weight since I was probably in grade school, because I was heavy in high school all the time. In fact, I went to one of my high school reunions after I'd lost my weight, and one of my classmates looked at me and he said, very kindly, "You used to be fluffy." Bless his heart. Yes, used to be fluffy. And so I am so grateful to have found this program. So now we're going to have a little fun. This is what we're going to do first. So I'm going to put this down for just a minute. And we're going to play a game. You don't have to move, but you do have to know which is your right hand and which is your left, because you're going to raise your hands for this. So we're playing this or that. Okay? And it's a see how this or that. So, first one, would you rather have broccoli or would you rather have squash? Look around.
So are we doing...
This is broccoli, this is squash.
Right.
Okay. If you like them both, I'm fine with both hands.
But squash this hand, just so we're on the right page. Is this side squash?
Yeah. This or that. And the first one is this, your right hand, and the second one is your left.
Except that we're... Say so.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, just don't turn around.
Help. So the next, by the way, these are all go along with the 7 tools, just to let you know. Would you rather make something or eat out? Make something or eat out? Would you rather do face-to-face or phone bridge? Face-to-face or phone bridge? Okay. Would you rather make an outreach call or receive one? Good for you if you like both. Do you do service on a group level or... at a world service level, group level, world service, or both. There you go. Would you rather have a meat protein or a vegan protein?
Meat.
Look around you. It's kind of fun to see everybody's hands. It's just really fun. I'm just saying. And lastly, would you rather have a sugar-free drink or water? All right, thanks for indulging me. So now the next one that I want to mention is that after my doctor told me that I needed to eat less food, I thought, nowhere in the book does it say we can eat less food. And so I went on a short journey of 2 or 3 years, and I was able to add to our Forever Abstinent book the phrase on one of the pages that says, as you age, you can eat less food.
Thank you.
I felt it was necessary, not just for me to do that, but I felt because my sponsor gave me such a bad time when I first discussed that, that I needed to have that in the book, because sponsors needed to know that if your sponsee needs to eat less food, it is just fine. So anyway, I'm just really grateful to have found this program. My journey through the See How rooms has been, I started in 2011, and I just, like I said, the thought just crosses my mind, oh, I could do this. And I just want you to know, whenever I do that, something comes up and I realize I can't do it on my own. I cannot. And recognizing that, I am now 83. I am so grateful to have found this program. And for the first time in my life, I get on the scale. Sometimes every week, I take my bath and I climb on the scale. And it's always pretty much at the same weight. And I've never done that in my whole life. And so I'm grateful. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you very much.
Gwyneth?
Yes, your turn next.
Good.
Thank you.
I'm Marcia, grateful compulsive eater.
Hi, Marcia.
And I like that my sponsor says, and in recovery. So I'm there working on it. And that's a new thing for me to say. And I'm going to talk to you about persistence. When I joined See How, I had my, I was 70, and my husband had been diagnosed with cancer at stage 3.8 melanoma at age 65. Because he wouldn't go to the doctor before then, he had a spot on his head, and I said, honey, you need to go to the doctor. And he said, I'm going to wait till I get my insurance. And he would not, he was born in Germany. You know, and I wasn't going to change what he was going to do. Because those Germans, and probably all of us are like that. We're going to do what we're going to do. And he told me that one time. It doesn't matter what your wife tells you. If a husband doesn't want to do it, he's not going to do it. Even if it's the truth, even if it's the right thing. If he doesn't want to do it, he's not going to do it. And that was a hard thing. I said, I've been wasting all my energy and my joy trying to get him to not eat sugar because I knew it was a cancer feeder. And he was not going to listen to me. He was going to go out the way he wanted to. So he said everything. And sugar, sweetness is the last taste to leave. And I don't know why that is, why God made it that way, but he did. So I joined See How when I was 70, and he was still living, and he was in a relapse. Or whatever, not a relapse. What do you call it? That
remission.
Remission, and I lost 85 pounds in 9 months, and
ooh, yeah,
and he was going around telling everybody I lost 100 pounds. Of course, they were really impressed, but I said, you know, really, honey, it was only 85 pounds. But he liked rounding it off, so he was. It was so fun. He'd, you know, we can't promote, but he was out promoting, and it was really fun. I was amused, but he a very sweet, gentle man, but very stubborn, but very gentle. And so I was successful. I have ADD, and if you're focused, hyper-focused when you have ADD, you're able to do what you're focused on. And so through his death and through the next, you know, 5 years, I was very successful in the program. I just kept doing it one day at a time, and I knew what I was going to do. I'd committed my food. And at first, it's really hard because they say, you know, there's that, he was bringing all this sweet stuff in the house, and he did all the buying, too. He was very paternalistic, and he was in charge. In fact, even in the living room, when I think, oh, we're going to have a blue living room. And then he'd bring in something yellow or green or, you know. And so I had, then I decided, well, it's going to be eclectic. So that's what it was. So I wanted to have something, you know, I can call it. But he was in charge of the food, and we had all of this non-abstinent food in the house. And whenever one of the alcohols was on sale that he liked, he'd buy another case of it. And so the garage was full of all this stuff. And the alcohol didn't attract me so much. I did become alcoholic just before in my last few years because I'd read this article that said if the husband's a moderate drinker and the wife's a teetotaler, the children are more likely to be alcoholic. Well, the kids were just going out into their college years, so I thought, well, I need to drink. Because I got to show them how to do it. So, and for, my whole family was alcoholic, but I thought I was the exception because I hadn't started till I was in my 50s. So, but that didn't work for me. So by the time I joined CHEL, I needed a food program and I needed an alcohol program. So, and then I read the thing and you can't drink alcohol at CHEL. Isn't that funny? I mean, I'd never been on a diet program where you couldn't have a drink, you know, once in a while, but not in CHEL. It was going to be a slip. So, that was my beginning in CHEL. After my husband died, I got a call from the lady that my sister was living in, my twin sister, and I was very bonded to her. I did not bond with my mother. I bonded to my twin. And she said, Rita has progressed down to the point that I can't take care of her anymore. Well, I lived in Nevada, just below Reno, and she was up by Portland. So I began traveling back and forth. And of course, my husband was gone at this time. He died at age 72. And so there I was going back and forth and trying to take care of my sister. And then it turned out her friend had cancer. So there were two people in the house that needed help and very picky, very particular. I mean, you'd prepare something for them to eat and they wouldn't want to eat. Oh, ew, you know, this tastes terrible. This doesn't, you know, isn't the right thing. And I'm a person that wants to please. And that was very hard for me to handle. And but I did that for 5 years, and finally it got to the place where they asked me to do something, and I said I couldn't do that, and I left in August, and my sister died in February of 21, and I never went back up to see her, and I felt so guilty about that. And I'd done pretty well with the program up to that time, and that was in 21. And then I started slipping, one slip after another slip after another. I couldn't get my focus back. And I'd be out in the afternoon picking something off the trees and indulging in it. And you can't do that in CHEL. Or I'd be in the house and fixing my food, and I'd put more on my plate than I should. And I had a terrible time. I wasn't gaining weight at that time, but it wasn't a good program. And so I was slipping, having to do the first 30-day questions again and again. I think I had them memorized by then. But it was a real challenge. So, but my choice was, did I want to quit the program? What would happen if I quit the program? Well, I'd tried a lot of diet programs and I'd lose some weight. I'd never lost the 85 pounds, but I could lose, you know, 30, 40. And then that's what would happen with my diet programs. I'd quit when I'd lose 30 or 40 pounds, and then I'd gain it all back plus 10 more. And I don't know why it was always 10 more. So, you know, I'd started out about maybe 140, 150, and now I was up to over 220. And so I was in my family, you know how your family's so helpful. They're always giving you funny cards or why don't you eat half what you're eating? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? But if you're a compulsive eater, if you're a food addict, that doesn't work for you. I needed CHEL. And there was this little ad in the paper in the Carson City, Nevada paper that said about this compulsive eaters meeting. And it was had a 12-step program, and I knew that was associated with Alcoholics Anonymous. And one in my family had done AA. One out of the six kids had done AA, so and had stopped drinking, and her husband had stopped drinking. So I knew that, and that kind of 12-step program had worked. So I thought I'd try it and see how it worked for me. And it worked for the first 5 years, and then I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So. After my sister died, I had a choice. was I going to stay in the program and do it the best I could, or was I going to just go out and, you know, try something else or not try something else and just be what I was? And I didn't like what I was. I didn't like being fat. I didn't like being able not to be able to hike with the kids and getting so tired. And my doctor would say, I said, I don't have any energy. I'm so tired. Why don't you go walk? Well, you go walk and you're carrying 85 pounds. That's not, that doesn't build your energy. That's really, really tiring. Thank you. So I think I'm getting to the end of my program, and this doesn't stay on. So this hasn't been working. I had to tell myself that even though I'd slip, because you're so embarrassed when you slipped and you're so full of shame and you don't want to admit it, you, first of all, you don't want to tell your sponsor. And so usually that takes a couple days before you go to admit to your sponsor. And then you have to tell other people that you slipped. And then you tell your sponsees, and I usually had three or four sponsees, sometimes five. And I'd say, now, if you want to get another sponsor, you can. You know, this is your opportunity to choose it. And they didn't want to. I don't know why they didn't want to. But they didn't. So I had to learn that slipping wasn't the end of the world. And the embarrassment and shame that I felt wasn't the end of the world. And go in and face those people and walk through that and have the courage to hang on, because I knew the program helped me. That's what I had to do. I had to make that choice. It was a choice to hang on. Where was I going to go? Where could you go? Nobody else has what See How has. It's a structure and the discipline that keeps you healthy. And I wanted to be healthy. So See How says we can have faith yet keep God out of our lives. The effectiveness of our program rests upon how well and how earnestly we try to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Self-will may slam the door shut again and again. As when I was reaching up for something that I wasn't supposed to have, that really was self-will. And when I was piling more on my plate, just not fully measuring it, that was my self-will. But it always responds the moment we pick up the key of willingness. And when I saw the title of last year's program, I thought that was really good, the key of willingness. I need to keep that in the forefront of my mind. Am I willing? And God, we pray to God for that. That's what I've had to learn in the program. I've always believed in God. But I thought I was working for God. I was doing what God wanted me to do. I was His minister doing, you know, and I worked in Christian service for most of my life. And so I was God's handmaiden. Well, I found out I really wasn't. I was Marcia's handmaiden, doing what Marcia wanted to do and just trying to blame God for it. So I had to stop that and really learn what surrender to God meant. Meant giving up my will, and it's not fun. I mean, there's foods in the program that are allowed, but you can't eat them because you're addicted to them. Now, what's with that? That's not fair, is it? I mean, we've already given up all this, and then we have to give up some other food just because, you know, it grows on us. And I'm in that place now, too, where I'm aging. You're 83, I'm 82. And I found out I broke my foot a couple of years ago, and now I'm gaining weight. So what am I going to do about that? I've cut down to about where I can cut down and See How, and I'm gaining weight. So I'm going to have to cut down more. I don't know how to do that. I don't know. I really don't know how to do that, because I'm a compulsive eater, and my food is really important to me. And I've just adjusted to this amount that I can eat now. And to think I'm going to be have to eat less. And you live with that? So, wow. So I just like to take a quiet moment and think about where in your journey you're being called to pick up the key of willingness. And I know mine is giving up those foods that are allowed, but not for my body. So where in your journey are you today that you're being asked to do something you really don't want to do? So we can take that step And it isn't going to be easy. But we're worthy. We're enough. We can do it. We are. I mean, learning we're enough is one of the biggest parts of this program, because I never felt I was enough. My twin sister was enough, so I let her be enough for me, because she was little and she was, you know, all the boys loved her. In fact, one boy said he wanted to date me in high school, and I said, well, why don't you want to date Rita? And he said, because you've got more to hug. Well, that ended my relationship with him right there before it started. You know, this isn't as easy to do as you think it's going to be. So perseverance. We just have to keep on, no matter how good our program looks, no matter how good we look or feel, we just keeping on. We show up. And before my last sponsor quit me, because she said, I can't teach you anymore. And I was so hurt. When your sponsor quits you, it's an emotional thing. And here I'd lost my husband, I'd lost my sister, and then I'd lost my little Yorkie. I don't know which was worse. Probably the Yorkie. But I could see that little Yorkie walking around. But it was hard. I was in a period of grief, and so my sponsor added to it, and so I needed strength, and it's been good. I got another sponsor who's very good, and I didn't think I could ever, because when you're in maintenance, it's hard to find a sponsor. And I was very fortunate to get an excellent sponsor. So it'll work out. We just have to persevere. We have to believe that God has put us in this program, and he has the people here for us that we need. And to be honest, to admit I failed, to admit I reached for something that I shouldn't have reached for again, or to admit that I can't eat all this food. It's building weight on me. Honesty in our program, it says it's important. So it's a challenge for me. I don't really want to be honest. I'd rather lie and pretend I'm in this never, never land, but it doesn't work. So thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Connie, and I am a compulsive eater. It's nice to be here with you today. A little bit about my story. I have struggled with my weight forever. I remember as a little girl, maybe 5 or 6, I used to sneak food out of the kitchen and go hide and eat it. So my compulsion started very early. So all through the early part of my marriage, you know, I was just up and down, trying all the things. And I would gain a lot of weight when I was pregnant. And I never lost all the weight after I had the baby. In fact, I was lucky if I lost the weight of the baby before I left the hospital. I just thought, how does that happen? You know, my baby weighed 7 pounds and I only lost 6 pounds. Anyway, I tried all the diet programs, all the ones that cost a lot of money and everything. And occasionally, a rare occasion, I would get down to my goal weight. I thought, good, now I can start eating again. And I think within 24 hours, I had started back up. And I did that for years. And I was devastated, but I didn't know how to do it. I did not know how to maintain. In 2011, I saw a friend of mine walking across the church parking lot. And I asked her, I said, how did you lose your weight? And she told me that she was going to an addiction recovery program and see how. And she said, why don't you come to a meeting with me on Saturday? And it was an intergroup workshop. And I went in there, didn't know a soul except for her. And as soon as I sat down and listened, I thought, these are my people. they're saying the same things that I've been thinking. And I thought I was the only one that thought them. I had a lot of self-hatred. I detested myself because of my lack of self-control. I couldn't stand myself. And so that's why I started the program. I wanted to get my self-respect back. But as we all know, the program is so much more. There's so many different facets of it. And so my recovery has been a joy. Before I started the program, I got notice from my doctor that I was pre-diabetic. And my mother was diabetic for a lot of years, and she really worked to keep her weight under control. But when he told me that I was pre-diabetic, I just thought, okay, guess I'm going to be diabetic. I didn't know how bad diabetes was, you know, how much I should try to avoid it. Didn't know that I could do anything to avoid it. And so I became diabetic. Went on metformin. I am now 95 pounds heavier than I was at my heaviest. And I lost some of it.
You mean lighter?
Oh, excuse me. Right. Yes, I am. Sorry. I am 75 pounds lighter. No. Yeah. I'm 95 pounds lighter than I was at my heaviest. I did lose 75 pounds in the program, but I'm now maintaining a 57-pound weight loss because as I've aged, you know, I've stayed abstinent all the time, but my weight has been creeping up a few pounds every year. And so I just thought, what the heck? What am I going to do about it? This is not fair. You know, I gave up all that stuff and I'm still gaining. It's because I'm a compulsive eater. You know, I weigh and measure everything. I love weighing and measuring. I appreciate what it says about you have more freedom when you weigh and measure. And I like to take recipes. I have a few recipes of my old original recipes that I've adapted, but I like to maybe look at the magazine and adapt some of those recipes. Mostly I tear them out and slip them in my book where I record my food, but someday I'm going to start adapting more of them because I do really like them. So my question for this, or my focus for talking to you, is how do I use the See How program to take care of my health and my husband's health? Okay. When I started, I was diabetic. I had high cholesterol. I had sleep apnea. Those are the three main ones. Since then, I've learned that I now have osteoporosis. And recently, at my last doctor appointment, after I did the lab work, he said, oh, you have high potassium. And I thought, what? Yeah, what? What has high potassium? So I looked on here. What foods have high potassium? What? I eat all those foods. So for the last 3 months, I've been trying to cut down on high potassium foods. And then last week, I went to the doctor and he did the lab work. And I told him that I had cut out tomatoes, which I love. You know, I think broccoli is another one. Of course, we all know bananas. I'd cut down on maybe to half a banana a day instead of a whole banana a day. And he had a student nurse practitioner with him. And they both said, don't cut out your potassium foods, high potassium foods. Yeah, keep eating healthfully as you are. Because I remember when I first lost my weight, my doctor said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep it up. You know, and I did go over it. And I have my original Forever Abstinent book with his signature in it. And that is like a treasure to me. That's very special to me. Another thing that is special to me, and I want to encourage you to do this too, is about a year and a half ago, I called the lady that invited me to my first meeting. And I don't ever even see her anymore. I have not seen her in years. And she's not in the program anymore either. But I called her up and I said, Heather, I just want to thank you for introducing me to the See How program. I just want you to know I've had this big weight loss. I love my meetings. I love See How. I continue to go and I am very active in service. And I want to thank you for that introduction. And that was a very touching moment to do that. So if you have the opportunity and you haven't seen the person that introduced you to See How for a long time, consider giving them a call and thanking them for that introduction. Okay, so now, my husband's medical issues. All right, main thing right now is that he has frontotemporal dementia. So in addition to that, he has diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, gout. He has a lot of different things, and he's on a lot of prescription medications. I'm not. And because he has dementia, I can't reason with him. So he makes his own breakfast, and it is full of sugar and flour. And I just leave it alone. You know, I have tried to suggest to him, maybe don't eat quite that much, or maybe just eat half of that or something like that. But I can't reason with him. I just, okay, he's going to eat. He's not German, but he eats what he wants to eat. But for lunch, at first he was making his own food. And of course, I make my own food. But my daughter said, Mom, you need to make his food, make his lunch so that you can make sure he eats more nourishing food. So now what I do, I don't weigh and measure his food, but I make sure that he has a grain. I make sure he has protein, little bit of vegetables. He's not a lover of the vegetables. I make sure he has some fruit. So that's about all that I do for him, for See How, to help with his health. I would encourage you, and you probably already do this, if you have any health issues, go ahead and Google and find out what foods are good for your condition and what foods are bad for your condition. So those are very, very helpful. Another thing that you could do, and I know that Elaine did this, she had to go to the hospital for a stay a year or so ago. So before she went, she checked with the hospital. She met with the hospital dietitian to find out, you know, what can I eat? How can we work together on this? Well, did the hospital suggest you get the prescription?
Yes.
Okay, so the hospital told her to get a prescription from your doctor saying that Elaine can bring her own food to the hospital. And so she was able to do that. And she said the dietitians and nurses were very impressed with what she brought. Elaine is allergic to aspartame. And so she makes her own Jell-O with Knox gelatin. And, you know, at the very beginning, right after surgery, you go on this clear diet. So she added like apple juice. Let's see what else. Apple juice. What was the other one?
White grape juice.
White grape juice. Okay. Oh, and she also had plain Greek yogurt. So, you know, if you have high blood pressure, you cut down on salt and salty foods. I have low blood pressure, right? So I'm not worried about that. And I do like my salt. But I add herbs and spices to all my cooking. I printed a sheet off of the internet, and it's on the inside of my cupboard door, right by where my herbs are. And every time I roast vegetables, you know, I'll look at, okay, cauliflower, what are some good things in there? What are some good things with squash? And I add everything. I've decided that I accessorize my food, I accessorize my house, I accessorize my clothing. That's just me. So when I add, if I can add it to my plan and it's legal, I'll do it just because I like to accessorize. Okay. This program has saved my life physically because I'm 95 pounds less than I used to be. We moved out of our house when we lived in Washington State, because the stairs were hurting me, that my legs, my knees in particular, were just really, really bothering me. And so we moved. I don't have diabetes anymore. My A1C, I think, is 5.4. So I'm very happy about that. I don't have high cholesterol. I don't have sleep apnea anymore. I remember the last time I wore my mask, I was so disgusted with it. I just could hardly wait to get that thing off of my face. And I remember in the middle of the night, I just threw it on the floor. And then I never wore it again. And I didn't need to wear it. My breathing was not being blocked. I like to go walking now. I don't run. I don't go to the gym, but I walk. My kids gave me a walking pad that I use at home. And it's sort of like a treadmill, but it's flatter. It's still really heavy. But I walk on that, if I can, 30 minutes a day. And my husband's happy because with his dementia, he is stressed all the time if I'm gone. He likes me to be home, so I'm home with that. My program has saved my life emotionally. I have tools that I work through my emotions. And probably the biggest things that cause me emotion are my husband's dementia. And he's just in the mid stages. So I just know it's going to get worse. It's going to get more difficult. But with the things that I have learned in CHOW and my writing, just all those things, I can cope better. I have just learned since I've been here at this conference. That one of my sons is getting divorced. And we feared that it was coming, but it's official. And he is just brokenhearted. And so, Mama Bear, you know, I don't want my son hurting. So I have to worry through that too. So writing for me is difficult. I resist it with everything I can because I don't want to go there. But the sponsors that I go to that help me with my writing, oh, they're wonderful. And every single time I'm done with it, I feel so much better. I am so relieved. I conclude the phone call just with gratitude that I was able to do that. And I do want to get better with that. I am blessed in Utah to go to 3 face-to-face meetings a week. There are 2 more that I could go to if I wanted to go Monday through Friday, but I go to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I love my face-to-face meetings. I love the literature, and I have hope for growth. This program has saved my life spiritually. I've always known that I was a daughter of God, and that he loves me, and that he knows my name. But I cannot believe the difference in my relationship with him since I have come into the program. I am much closer to him. I didn't think I needed to get closer, but it's kind of like night and day with how close I am to my higher power now. And I know that he is in the tiny details of my life. And thank you for letting me share. Okay. How long do we have?
We have about 1 minute.
Okay, so we'll open it up for sharing for about 10 minutes. And if you'd like to share, please sign the form.
Thank you, ladies, very much. My name is Jack, and I'm a compulsive eater. I spilled some mustard on myself, so that's my badge of compulsive eating authenticity. So you see it on me. I've been in program since 1994, and truth of the matter is that, like all of us, program has saved my life over and over again. What I'd like to address is the subject at hand. I've had abstinences up and down, not consistent, but always my life gets saved and bettered by program. I've learned about gratitude. I've learned that I'm not in control, and so many other lessons about it. With regard to what we're talking about here, 3 years ago, I found myself in a situation where I was not abstinent, where I had ballooned up to 245 pounds. The health plan that I was with, doctors told me that my back was so bad that I was going to ultimately wind up in a wheelchair. So I had back surgery, and then afterwards, I was still in real trouble with it, and I was still at that weight. 2 years ago, in January, I was facing my 75th birthday on August 31st, and I said to myself, who do you want to be at 75? What do you want to look at? What do you want to be? And I started to pray, and I went back to program religiously, and I decided I was going to turn it over to God. I could not walk across the street. My partner said to me, just get one of those walkers and try. Long and the short of it is that I started doing it and got serious about program and went back to meetings. My walking got better, a little bit better at a time, a little bit better at a time. I was almost 245 at the time when this happened. Bottom line of it is the fact that when August 31st happened, I was 175. I'm 185 now, so I've gone up 10 pounds, but I was 175. And every day of my life, I walk around the park, which is a mile, and I go upstairs and I do 5 miles on a recumbent bike. My point of all this is that aging is not for sissies. It isn't. And we know that. But what I believe is that we have some control over our thoughts and our intentions about who we want to be and how our lives are going to go. And I believe so strongly that being in program empowers me every day to live the best life I can. I'm going to be 77 in about a month, and I'm running around, man. You know, I'm doing stuff. You know, I walk with a limp a little bit, but I don't care. I can walk. You know, I can fit into these Joe's jeans that I have no business wearing, you know, but I don't care because they're younger. And I love my life and I value my life and I value my program. And I think for all of us, I think the lesson is that we have control, and I think God wants the best for all of us. And that means not surrendering to illness, not surrendering those things, but putting faith and acceptance and gratitude in our lives, at least for me, is what has worked for me, and hope it works for you.
Hi, I'm Eva, compulsive eater. Thank you guys for the panel. You know, I could relate because, you know, I turned 73 in June.
And when I came in to see how, you know, it was really hard to work the program because I didn't know food was really taking a toll on me, you know. But the addiction was that I was afraid to let go. And it was that questions were great until you got to 30 days and then you have to get to the steps. And then I got into the fourth. I had so much fear that I was going to look at nothing but bad, you know. But when I did the four, it was like magic that came over. I completed the whole 12 steps. And that was amazing. And you know what? I really real grateful because aging is hard for me right now. I might look young, but my body tells me different, you know? And when people tell me, God, you don't look that age, I go, yeah, but my body does tell me. See, I have to surrender and remember just because I don't show that number, but my body is telling me you have to slow down. And I'm grateful because you guys, what you share, it's true. I have another 12-step program, and I had a higher power, but I was missing something. I didn't know what it was. My brain was always in sugar. You know, I never got heavy or anything, but my thinking was just like, it was just a roller coaster, and I couldn't stop it. Then when I came in to see how today, I'm very calm. And it's like working this program. You know, today I don't even have to make people like me, you know, or know that on my life. Because today, you know, I sat with a whole bunch of group of people from Vegas. And they said, hey, give me your number. And they gave me all kinds of lists for the Zoom meeting. And, you know, that's how God works for me. Because I have to remember, I need you guys, you know. But it's only a one day at a time. Right now I'm going through knee, which I have arthritis really bad. And the doctor says you need to get a replacement. And right now, my husband getting a replacement on the 24th of July. And I have to be patient and wait. And, you know, it does hurt when your knee is telling you, I'm hurting. But you know what? I'm so grateful I showed up and suited up because me and my hubby weren't getting along because he's going through a lot of the physical stuff. And I said, thank you, God. Let me get away because I need to fill my cup. I need to be there service for him and not take everything so resentful. But it's just the question that I start growing. It's that question that I call my sponsor in the morning. And it was the greatest gift because it's not how long I've been here or short time. It's that question that opens that freedom. You know, my skin, the word is freedom. I feel so free because you guys accept me for who I am, not looking for something perfect. And you love me and that unconditional hugs. Oh, my God. I'm so grateful I'm here because you know how many hugs I need because I'm in Zoom and it's not the same, you know. I got this program in person. I went to big, big studies. I went with Ray S. at her meetings. You know, it's just those hugs that I need, and you know. And I'm grateful that God gave me that opportunity to be here because, you know, there were challenges. I had a granddaughter that has, I'm a great grandma, 6 and 3, and the granddaughter was completely plastered drunk. And the police were there. And you know, the sad part is the police wouldn't do anything. Because you know what I saw was those little kids, they were innocent. My granddaughter's already grown, but I had so many tears and the healing that nobody would do anything. And you know, today I have to really pray for them because I was affected by that disease as a child. And, you know, and I'm so grateful that I didn't keep her, you know. I could have kept her so I could protect the little innocent little kids, but I couldn't do that. And as you guys taught me that, because I cannot to be a doormat to somebody that chooses to be in that disease. And, you know, I just keep praying for them that God will find them a place, just like God found me. My higher power is very powerful in my heart. And I carry him because he did a lot of things for me that I can do for myself. So thank you for letting me show.
Hola, soy Zoe, comedor compulsivo.
I'm Zoe, compulsive eater.
Thank you, ladies.
hace poco me dijeron que mi mamá.
Recently, they told me that my mother. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Estaba enferma de Alzheimer.
She's very ill with Alzheimer.
Yo pensé que no tengo paciencia.
And I thought, oh, I don't have patience for this.
Y pues ya sabe que estoy enferma.
Well, y'all know this isn't an illness.
¿Cómo le voy a hacer? Pensé.
I thought, I can't do this. That's what I thought.
Hace unos días llegó a mi casa porque ella vive en otra ciudad.
Just a few days ago, she arrived at my house because she's from another city.
Allá en México.
So you're in Mexico where I live.
Y estaba muy angustiada, sentía una presión.
I just felt this like pressure and anguish in my chest.
Y tenía que venir a la conferencia.
But I knew that I was coming to the conference.
Uh-huh. Y la dejé de casa.
And I left the house.
Llena de tristeza.
And I had this sadness, deep sadness in leaving.
Cuidándola mi esposo y mis hijos.
My children and my spouse and my husband, they're in charge of taking care of her now.
Porque yo tenía un compromiso con la conferencia.
I had a commitment to be at the conference before this convention.
Y hice una pausa.
So I paused.
Y empezaron los milagros.
And the miracles began.
Estas chicas.
These women.
Me han dado la respuesta.
Have given me the answer.
De la fortaleza.
Of the strength.
Que voy a encontrar en el programa.
That I find here in this program.
Me acaban de invitar a un servicio.
I was just invited to do a service.
En la oficina mundial.
And as one of the new directors of the executive board.
Y tenía mucho miedo.
And I have a lot of fear being one of the new executive directors. One of the new directors, rather.
Pero ahora sé que.
But I know now.
Es la respuesta de Dios.
It's the response of God.
A esos miedos.
These fears.
No tengo paciencia.
I say that I don't have patience.
Pero tengo un programa.
But I do have a program.
Y a todas ustedes.
And I have all of you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your shares. We are through and you can go to your next class or to the restroom or whatever you would like. Thank you for being here. It's exciting to see you all.